And good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and the meeting person this morning, I just went blank. Anyhow, sorry, and welcome to a Vision for You Big Book study. I just lost my script here. All right, sorry, hold on. Today is Friday, July 19th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're in Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism, and we are on page 42, and that is on paragraph 1, beginning with two of the members of AA. And we'll be reading through that one paragraph only, ending in, I could do the job myself. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Karen B. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Sandy W., Don B., and Julie E. B. Our newcomer greeter today is Mo H. and Leslie W. Mo H. is our newcomer greeter and Leslie W. for announcements. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, July 18, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,173. That's 13173. And the share ID for this morning is Friday, July 19, 2019, 7 a.m. meeting is 13,175. That's 13175. The OA preemblem, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Karen B. to please read our 12 steps of OA. Karen?
Good morning. This is Karen B. in Utah with the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food. Their lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for the opportunity to serve, and I pass.
And thank you, Karen B., for your service. And now Athena B. will be reading our 12 traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Athena B., for being of service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And please don't use your mute button on your phone, but star 1 to mute and unmute. We appreciate that so much. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. And we're on page 42. We're in More About Alcoholism, which is chapter 3. And we're going to be on page 42, paragraph 1, beginning with two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we're reading through that one paragraph only. So would Sandy W. please get us started reading? Begin reading, please.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks so much for your service. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. Two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. They grinned, which I didn't like so much, and then asked me if I thought myself alcoholic and if I were really licked this time. I had to concede both propositions. They piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality, such as I had exhibited in Washington, was a hopeless condition. They cited cases out of their own experience by the dozen. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. Again, Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut, and so grateful to be here this morning. You know, I was thinking about how much this chapter has helped me understand the mental twist, that mental piece of our disease. And, you know, as much as I love and relate to the other stories in here, this story of Fred really drilled home for me the total hopelessness that I was in. You know, I could understand, like Jim, eating when he was kind of down on his luck. And I even came to appreciate and relate to the utter insanity of the jaywalker going back out into traffic after he was harmed physically so many times. But Fred, you know, Fred had everything going for him, and he still picked up. You know, after that period of abstinence, you know, without thinking at all about what the outcome would be or considering all that self-knowledge that he had gained. You know, I can't help but think about those times I found myself just in the food for no reason at all and without even a thought crossing my mind as to why I shouldn't. You know, I couldn't even recall those, you know, all the harm that my alcoholic foods had caused me in the past. You know, that's really when I knew I was licked, just like Fred did. You know, but by acknowledging that I was a real compulsive overeater, and just as he said, totally licked by this disease, as awful and as hopeless as that made me feel, and it truly was a very dark day, and I'm sure many of you can appreciate that, and I want to give some hope, though, to those that are in that place right now, because that's where we also find that glimmer of hope. Because, you know, in this book, and I know for me, you know, and in hearing all of you on this line who study it so hard, you know, that's what told me exactly what I had to do. That even though I had no defense against that mental blank spot, you know, that place where all of a sudden I just found myself eating again when I had sworn it off so many times, you know, this book and all of you have helped me realize there is a defense against compulsive overeating, and I choose to call him God, and he has the power to eliminate the twist of the mind if I can just stay connected to him by doing the work of the steps and entire abstinence. You know, now, and I never thought I'd get to this point, but now I am so grateful that all that mindless eating snuffed out my last flicker of hope, because I, you know, I realize now I could never fix myself. I couldn't then, I could now. Because, and being fixed by God instead, you know, it not only gives me a daily reprieve from eating compulsively, but it gives me a life where I happily do so. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks again, Sherry.
And thank you, Sandy W., for getting us started. Okay, so just reminding everybody, we're in Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism, page 42, paragraph 1, starting with two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And who would like to share this morning?
Laura W.
Laura W.
Jen A.
Jen B.
Okay, so we got a Jen A and a Jen B. Okay, all right.
Reggie O.
W.
Okay, I heard something W.
Kathy W.
Was that Kathy?
Yes.
All right. All right, and I'll take one more.
Ginger C.
Got you, Ginger. All right, we've got our lineup. So we have Laura W., Jen A., and Jen B., Reggie O., Kathy W., and Ginger C. Okay, Laura W., you're up, followed by Jen A.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, when I remember reading this years ago, and when I read that they grinned, which I didn't like so much, back then I thought, oh, these guys they're laughing at him, they're making fun of him. But today I'm realizing I think they grinned because they finally, you know, they realized that this guy finally knew he was licked, and they grinned because they had a solution for him. And I love how it says, they piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality was a hopeless condition. And that's what this is. This is a disease of the mind. The food for me is just a symptom. And I'm grateful today that this chapter, first of all, this chapter is here to tell me more about alcoholism, because I really thought that I knew it all. I didn't think I needed to know any more, but there's so much more for me to learn. And, you know, just reading the big book years ago, it might have given me knowledge and might have given me information, but living the steps and living the big book gives me a life beyond my wildest dreams, and it gives me freedom. So I know that, you know, it's interesting that Jim here is finally seeing that he's hopeless. And I know I need this information every single day, no matter how long I'm recovered. It doesn't matter. Every day I wake up, and for me, I take steps 1, 2, and 3 every day. And I stay abstinent, number one. My food stays clean. That's not even an option. But I have to do a better job of staying close to my higher power every day. And that's what the steps are. The steps are a way for me to develop an increase and maintain a relationship with a power greater than me. Because if I try to control this myself, if I think that I've got this, if I think that maybe I could have a little bit of this, or not even the food, if I could control people, or if I could use my anger to be self-righteous, I will fail and I will pick up again. And I know that today. And I only know that today because I do the work every day, one day at a time. I can't stay clean on yesterday's shower, you know. I have to ask God every day to keep his arm over my shoulder and his hand over my mouth, and just to do these steps one day at a time. And when I have you guys with me doing it, I know I'm not alone. So thanks for letting me share. God bless everyone. Pass.
Thank you, Laura W. And Jen A., you're up, followed by Jen B. Jen A.?
Thanks, Sherry. Isn't that cool? Jen A., Jen
uh-huh.
B., out of God. So I am so grateful. Thank you, God, that we are here with Fred at step one. And I remember being at step one, right? I thought myself alcoholic. And if I were really licked this time, I had to concede. I had to accept that this is true, the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind, right? This disease of the mind. Because up until now, before I took this step, it was like, I got this, right? I can come up with 100 different ways that I got this. And I got the results. And if I got the results, then guess what? I'm not ready. But once I conceded to both propositions, right, and I have heaps of evidence that's piled on top of me that I overexercise, that I restrict, that I compulsively eat and all of that, right? And I would make those lists and I would do those assignments like my sponsor told me, and I would list all those things. I was like, yep, I am hopeless. Hopeless and out of ideas. And I love too where it talks about the mentality, that compulsive overeating mentality. That's my way of thinking. That's my outlook. That's my intelligence. That's my brain power, right? That's my disease of my mind. And you know, in this first step, we're talking about the principles, right? And the principle is honesty. So here I'm conceding. I'm being honest and I'm saying, okay, I got this, right? And then we're gonna take a look next and see what. But the next step, step two, is I don't. I can't. God can, right? And he's the one that's going to bring me what? Hope. That's what step two, that's the principle behind step two. And it's so great because you know what? My disease can keep sneaking in my mind today as a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. But guess what? There's only the three things I can say today that begin with I. I got God. I got the spiritual way of life. And I can recover as I trudge with you all on this road. And it's so beautiful. So I'm so grateful that I got the opportunity to get on this meeting today and just share my experience on my step one experience and how great it was. Man, it did suck. It sucked to have wrappers on one side of my seat and vomit on the door, outside of the door of my car. But let me just tell you, I accepted and acknowledged it as true. I am truly a compulsive overeater. I am truly an anorexic, and I am truly a bulimic. God help me. I can. Now I'm going to let you. And when I say that and he can, and whatever it is, I know that he's always going to show up. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen A. And now we'll hear from Jen B., the ABCs today. Jen B.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much. This is Jen B. from Boston. So nice to be on the line. And I've heard this paragraph read out loud a million times in meetings. And I love the part where he says, you know, these two guys grinned at me and I didn't like it so much. Because my God, when I was in the food, didn't I just take everything personally? Somebody could smile at me out of kindness. And I would think, well, what the hell is her problem? What is she smiling at? You know, what do I get something on my face? Like I never... oh, man, you know, it was just all about me and what I'm feeling and what I'm going through. But then, you know, I did this work and I really accepted that I'm a food addict, you know, and I just I'm beat and there's no way around it. Like, that things in my life had gotten to a point where it was so clear that my way of doing things had just failed. They just failed and I needed something more. And then when I eventually found this process, and I heard people say over and over again, boy, I was absent for a gazillion years, and then I did this process, and it losing, you know, wide open, through my recovery, wide open in a good way. And that was such a sounded so attractive to me because I was in pain, you know, I was in pain. Some days still, you know, it's kind of interesting figuring out how to keep doing the deal when one is no longer in pain. But, you know, it's a process. It's a process, and I stick with it. So that's it. I'll pass. And thank you so much.
And thank you, Jen B. Reggie O., you're up, followed next by Kathy W. Reggie?
Good morning, Sherry. Thanks so much for your service. Good to hear you. And this is Reggie O., gratefully recovered here outside Los Angeles and Woodland Hills. And, you know, reading this paragraph this day as many times as I've read it, I thought, gosh, can I really share on this? I mean, share on it, and can I find the words to share what, you know, the experience that I'm having as I'm reading this? Because, and I guess maybe it's just hitting me at a deeper level. I'm not sure because I've read this many times. I've been through the steps many times. But I'll see what I can do here. He asked me if I thought myself alcoholic and if I were really licked. I find that was those two questions interesting, you know. They seem to be the same, but I guess, you know, you're saying here that you can know yourself to be alcoholic, but think you still, you know, have things under control, which is a part, or still, there's a way that I can do this. There's a way that I can manage. There's a way I don't have to do what, you know, all of you do. Well, I've certainly been there, done that many times, and but I had to concede that I was really licked. I had to concede that this thing had me, and no amount of effort, no amount of thinking, no amount of magical thinking, no amount of anything outside, you know, that I've done on this program could help me. And this is where I think, you know, the difference is made. And we do go deeper into the steps each time we go through them. But, you know, I had to concede both propositions. I had to concede that to my innermost being. You know, I've conceded it in my mind before, you know, out of intellectual understanding. But to concede it in the depths of my heart, in the depths of my being, you know, that's where for me the surrender, you know, the surrender comes in, you know, that willingness to do something different, to be different, you know. And so, yeah, compulsive eating mentality, that's what it's all about. And yeah, but, you know, the physical allergy allergy is really huge. If we didn't have the physical allergy, there wouldn't be an issue. However, you know, we do have a physical allergy to behaviors, compulsive eating. I do, to compulsive eating behaviors and certain foods, you know, alcoholic foods. My first sponsor here called them heroin foods, which seemed more proper. But I can put those down. And that doesn't mean that the mental obsession goes away I think the blank spot, the mental blank spot really describes it in a perfect way, because it can be a blank spot, you know, like that just happened to this guy when he crossed the threshold of the dining room after a fabulous day and thought, I can have a couple of drinks, or not even the thought, but just picking it up without thought, or the thinking, well, I can control it this time, or all of the amazing, you know, excuses that the ego or whatever that is can give me to say it's going to be okay this time, but it never is. And thank you, Sherry. And that concession, you know, does snuff out the last flicker of conviction that I can do it. Only this program and God can. Thank you.
And thank you, Reggie O. And Kathy W., you're up, followed by Jenny C. Kathy?
Good morning. This is Kathy W. I'm a compulsive overeater in Denver. This paragraph, it kind of makes me think of, like, my first face-to-face meeting when I was probably, like, 12 or 13 years old. I knew that I had an eating disorder, problems with food, that I just wasn't normal and okay with food. And eventually, when I was 27, I went to my first face-to-face meeting. And at first I wanted to like keep the denial. Like I knew I had a problem, but like, oh, I'm not as bad as these people. This is not a thing. Like I didn't even want to introduce myself. Hi, I'm Cassie, compulsive overeater. I just said like, hi, I'm Cassie. And people were so kind to me. And I didn't like it. Like they grinned at me and I didn't like it. It was weird. And the fact that like they shared all their experiences and I kept going to meetings and I eventually found vision, that kind of got me out of that denial that like, one, I have a problem. So step one. And then I found hope eventually that like the rest of the steps and finding a spiritual hope would help me get rid of this thing that I've been dealing with since I was like 8 years old. And it's really beautiful that everyone shares their experience every week. And I'm so grateful that I've found the vision. And I just remember also my first space meeting, like I didn't know what books to read. I was overwhelmed, like the 12-12 and the Alcoholics Anonymous book. And like, I was crying one day, like, I don't know what book to read. And someone helped me figure out what books to read and like what their purpose was. So just the fellowship really helps. And I'm so grateful. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Cassie W. And before we hear from Ginger C., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 42, paragraph 1, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only, and I'll take some more names after Ginger C. shares. Ginger?
Hi, good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much for your service this morning. And I am Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And, you know, last night I had the privilege of reading this with a sponsee, this exact paragraph. And I love this paragraph and these two questions, because again, these directions are so clear. And a lot of people, you know, those two questions: am I a real compulsive overeater? And am I really licked this time? Am I done? And then if I am, I have to concede on both propositions. Both have to guarantee the 100% complete. And to concede means to admit that something is true or valid after first denying or resisting it. And
Ginger, we can't hear you. Ginger, are you there? Ginger C? Okay, we can't hear you, Ginger. So we're going to go take a lineup, and we'll have Ginger C come back on. So again, we're on page 42, paragraph 1. Who would like to share?
Julie E.B.
Mo H.
Bruce
E.
Kelly R.
Kelly
F.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got Julie B, Mo H. I think that was Bruce E. Did I hear you, Bruce?
That's right.
Okay.
Joanne.
And I heard a Kelly. Was that S as in Sam or F as in Frank?
S as in Sam. There's
sorry.
There's
also Kelly R.
Well, I heard an S. I thought I heard a Kelly F or F.
Yeah, there's Kelly F.
S.
And this is Kelly R.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We got some double people up here. So we got Kelly S and Kelly R, and then I heard somebody else.
Electra S.
Electra S. Okay, and we're going to try to get in Ginger C in there somewhere. So
I'm back
all right.
On, Sherry.
Are you back on, Ginger?
I am.
Okay, please go ahead, Ginger.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. So, and I was just saying, though, these two, you know, conceding these two propositions, I have to fully accept them. And someone just shared before, and that was my experience, too. You know, I knew pain and I knew the food was causing pain, but was it really that bad? And was I willing to admit completely that I'm a real compulsive overeater? I didn't see it. I didn't see it like my alcoholism. And I think I didn't see it because I didn't want to. I didn't really want to stop or give up the food because I needed an effect when these human emotions would build, because I didn't want to give up my time in AA. So conceding means, again, that I admit that something is true or valid after first denying or resisting it. But these two propositions, they must be fully taken. And are you done and out of ideas and willing to go to any lengths for victory over this? Because this is about ego deflation. This is about self-destruction of this self-centered state of mind and being that I live in 24/7. And it's not easy. And a price has to be paid. So are you in here for relief or recovery? Because recovery requires strenuous hard work, one alcoholic with another, and also on my BS. I lie, I cheat, I steal. I'm dishonest. And then I also am undisciplined and I stop all the time. I get tired. I don't want to do this another day, God. I've worked hard enough. And guess what? My disease never takes a day off, and if anything, it works overtime. And it's patient. So what choice do I have? These two doors: get busy and get better and pray that I never stop, or blot it out the best I can and pretty much live a life of hell, missing all these wonderful opportunities that God has in store for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Mo H. Julie? Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. Just so grateful to be a part of this fellowship and to learn from so many people. We're all trudging this road together. And, you know, I know I'm powerless over this disease. And one of the things, two members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. Well, today hundreds have come to see me between the two meetings I've been able to participate in. And they've come to see me, and some of them are grinning and laughing about horrible things like digging around in the garbage, stealing, hiding food away, disappearing into my room for days when my kids needed me, hurting my kids, watching them struggle with their the after effects still of the disease that I raised them in. And yet, when I can grin, when I can laugh, when I can take it easy, because I've done the fourth step, I've done the fifth step, I've shared stuff that you would think, oh man, they grinned, which I didn't like so much, and asked if I was really licked. Thought of myself alcoholic, and I do. I had the privilege this week to help one person in the ICU who had graduated from hospice in our disease, so sick in her 30s, so sick that she had gone into hospice, but found with a sweet 92-year-old roommate and some acts of service and a reason to live. And she got to hear about OA and Vision and 12-step for the first time. And I had a privilege to sit with the family as they watched their daughter in their 30s die in our disease. And so God is putting me in a place to have heaps of evidence that this mentality, which I, for me, was full of shame and fear and guilt and anger, the things we release in the fourth step, that I release every day in 10, 11, and 12 and replace with my higher power. It was a hopeless condition. I have cases of my own experience. Call anyone on this line and ask for cases of their experience and see if they aren't just like you. But to snuff out the last flicker of conviction I could do the job myself is to mean that there is power greater than myself. And if it's the people on this line that give you power greater than themselves, until, or sponsor, or whatever you need until you get there, I just pray that you'll reach out today, because I used to treat misery and isolation with more misery and isolation. And every time I take an act to break that, I have hope. So thanks for letting me share, and I'm glad all of you are grinning with me on the line, even in the face of such a terrible disease. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you. Mo H., you're up, followed by Bruce E. Mo?
Yeah, hi, Sherry KB. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater. I would like to pass to somebody who really tried to get on. Her name is Christina. J, I think, is her last initial. Christina, are you on? If she doesn't get unmuted, I'll go ahead, Sherry. She was having trouble unmuting her phone. Star one.
Oh, go ahead,
there,
please.
She is.
Thank
go
you.
Go ahead. Christina, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Mo, go ahead, please. Or is this Christina?
All right. I will go ahead.
Please, ma'am.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry
Thank
about
you.
That.
Go ahead,
yeah,
please.
Trying. All right. I'll take up, cut mine back to 2 minutes. All right. Mo H., recovered compulsive eater from Northern California. All right. The lines that really hit me was the two questions that were asked, if I thought myself an alcoholic and if I were really licked this time, and what I do with my sponsees. The first two questions I ask them, and it comes from page 90 in the big book, is, are you desperate and are you willing to go to any length? And that's what, when these two questions came up, that's what it reminded me of. That's what my sponsor asked me the day I called her and said, I can't stop. I am in the food. I am in the sugar after 5 years of not having had any of that. I couldn't believe how fast this disease took me out. And she asked me those two questions. Are you desperate? And are you willing to go to any length? So I have to get step one deep down in my gut. I've got to get it. Mind, body, and spirit. It's, yes, it's about putting the food down. And yes, it's about working the steps to, once I put the food down, the physical cravings go away, but then I have the mental obsession, which this chapter is all about. I call it more about the mental obsession, because it's all about the mind with the Jay Walker and Jim and Fred, and just add my name in there, Mo, and anybody else who shared on this line, that I have a mental obsession that maybe it's not telling me to eat food, but maybe it's telling me to get angry with the doctors that I've been dealing with lately, or nurses. You know, why aren't you bathing my husband and all of that? Or I can step outside the room and be quiet and get to connect with God and go back in and lovingly ask that question. That's how I change my behavior. Put the food down and then work the steps like your hair is on fire, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. And Bruce E., you're up, followed by Kelly S. Bruce?
Yes. Hi. Thank you, everybody. And this is Bruce E. I hope you can hear me okay. And I'm in North Carolina. I've recovered here. Well, two guys show up here. That's neat, isn't it? That, you know, same guys that have probably showed up before when he was went through this. But now these guys, here they are, back again. What a tremendous service they're doing here. He could have been out doing something else, but they're here to help this guy. And he didn't like that they grinned, because he knew he was in a tough spot. But they asked him those two questions. You know, are you a food addict? Yeah, I mean, I guess this question I ask myself and anybody, are you a food addict and are you licked this time? In other words, are you an addict? Are you a food addict? And what about, are you licked this time? Did you have a bad enough binge last time, or was it just absolutely so extreme that now you're licked, now you're down for the count? Yeah, and I'd have to say, I'd have to totally concede to my innermost self that I'm a food addict, age 30-31, but like he's conceding here, he conceded a bold proposition. And am I licked? Yeah, well, the last time I had a binge, man, I, you know, that thing went on for off and on for a year, you know, and totally wasted. I was licked, down for the count. And he said, yeah, he went ahead and agreed with both propositions. Yeah, I'm an alcoholic. I'm licked this time. So now they could come in with all their evidence and show him. And I'm sure that he just sat there, you know, shaking his head. I like this hopeless condition, such as I has exhibited in Washington, was a hopeless condition. Well, to me, what's a hopeless condition? What, for me, a hopeless condition is, I'm hopeless in that I can't help myself on the food. I can't do it myself. There's hope with my higher power, but in others, but I can't do this thing myself. So because of that, it's hopeless. if I could do it myself, I'd be the hard drinker and I could just go out and do it myself and stop on my own. But I can't because I'm of the hopeless condition. I'm in that hopeless condition. Process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. Yep. Fine. He took step. That's all step one. All this whole thing is all step one. Powerless over alcohol, powerless over food, you know. It sniffed out his last flicker of conviction.
Time.
He could do it himself. I can't do this myself. I need you guys. I need my higher power. And I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Bruce C. Kelly S., you're up, followed by Kelly R. Kelly S.?
Hey guys. Hey, friends. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Oklahoma. Great service of moderation today, Shay. Anyway, love this paragraph and pretty much just piggybacking on what everybody else has said, right? So I've been around these rooms for decades, 30-something years, and I used to always say, well, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm a compulsive overeater. And what I realized now, of course, was it was real easy to admit that, but I had never really truly accepted that. And, you know, it wasn't until I started listening to Vision. I've got 4.5 years of recovered abstinence, and I started listening to Vision right after they started, which has been almost 7 years, right? And started going through the big book and really reading this definition. And, you know, I just for years wanted it to be about the physical allergy. You know, I wanted to be able to put down my alcoholic foods, and I would do that. I'd get abstinent, and I'd lose my weight, which I lost 125 pounds two or three times now in these rooms. However, I didn't really ever understand the whole mental aspect that our mind is the greatest aspect of this disease. And so I didn't work the steps. I didn't have that psychic change. I didn't get that spiritual awakening as a result of all 12 steps because I'd get what I wanted. I'd get the weight loss, you know, I'd have a little abstinence. I felt better. And then I was always driven back to the food. And so I had to, I love this paragraph because it's saying we have to do both. So I had to get to that point. Was I the real alcoholic or the real compulsive overeater, you know? And then did I have a physical allergy? Did I have a mental obsession? And then was I licked? And, you know, the truth is, okay, yeah, would I have liked to got it sooner? Yeah, but you know what? Today I'm so, so grateful that I hit that place of desperation, that I saw myself as hopeless. I truly believe this program wasn't going to work for me because I thought I had worked it, but I had never worked it like it was laid out in this big book, never conceded both propositions, that I was the real compulsive overeater and I was out of ideas, you know, and that I was hopeless. I had to get to that place. For me, that's what I had to do. People call me all the time, what was different this time? What was different? I don't know. I was finally done. I was desperate. I was out of ideas, and I was willing to put down the food 100% and then get busy working these steps vigorously for the first time ever, got through the 12 steps, and I had to continue this. I have to be vigilant because my disease is there. You know, it's not out in the parking lot doing push-ups, as I've heard. It's in my spirits, in my soul, and my spiritual awakening is within me, you know, the deep reality is deep within. And I'm so grateful today that I finally got this message in this book, got to that place of desperation, and I'm willing to do it every day. And my life is changed, and I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Kelly S. And now we'll hear from Kelly R. And if we have time, Electra S. Kelly R., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Kelly R. from New York. I'm scared. I just realized that I have a food problem. Like, it's like really serious, and I gained 20 pounds in 1 month. And, I believe that I'm licked. I can't do this on my own anymore. And this paragraph really hit home. It was like a spiritual awakening for me, you know? And I know I need help. And this is my first time ever at an OA phone meeting. I'm new. I don't have any abstinence. I just eat compulsively. I mean, just to hide my feelings. And I'd appreciate any outreach calls. I can give my number at the end. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, Kelly R. And please do stay after our serenity prayer and give your name and phone number, and you'll get some names and phone number. Welcome to A Vision for You, OA. All right. Electra S., please take us out. Electra? Star 1 to unmute, please. Electra S.?
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good morning.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you for service sharing. Yeah, good morning. Electra S., recovering bulimic in California. Wow. This reading, I really I can identify in. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction. What this paragraph and this whole chapter is telling me is willingness. And I feel like willingness, and it goes to some of the other shares, that willingness is really, the for me, step zero. If I'm not willing and being vigorously honest about the disease and the mental twist aspect of it, and then the surrendering, there's no hope for me. To be, you know, the cover of my big book says, I'm willing to go to any length for freedom from compulsive eating, binging, and purging. And it's willingness and surrendering every day. And I struggle with that. I struggle with having to surrender every day. And I struggle with having to take my medicine every day. And I speak about that on this line because it pisses me off. Pisses me off to have to do the footwork every day. Like, it's not... the disease just doesn't get lifted. I'm recovering. I'm not recovered. I'm abstinent, but I have to work this every day. And working it is doing all 12 steps. And for me, very important is step 10, step 11, step 12, and helping others, whether it's with this disease or volunteering or service, but just getting out of self, being kind to others, not taking things personally. I offer newcomers just continue staying with this program. A Vision for You really saved my life. What I love about this paragraph is when it said they grinned, which I didn't like so much. And that reminds me so much of when I am talking to newcomers or potential sponsees, and they're telling me their story, or I'm telling them mine, and one of us laughs. And it's,
Electra, we lost you. Electra, are you there? Can't hear you, Electra. Hope you can come back on the line soon, because we're going to have to end soon, a little earlier today. Are you there, Electra?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, go ahead, please. Electra, can...
Oh.
Go ahead,
technology.
Please.
I'm not sure what happened. It's always lovely when you're talking to a newcomer, a sponsee, or a potential sponsor, and when you're sharing your story or your qualification, and they grin, which I didn't like so much. It's actually quite loving and fellowship when you do grin at another story because of the relation, and it's one alcoholic sitting across from another and understanding each other's stories. So with that, I pass. Thank you for your service.
And thank you. And thank everybody for an awesome meeting. We're going to stop a little short today because we have a lot of newcomers going to be calling in, and we want to be of service to them this morning. Thank you all so very much for sharing. What an awesome meeting today. So I just want to thank everyone who our Team Friday, Karen B. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, our Reader of our Text this morning was Sandy W., Don B will take us out on page 164, and Julie E. B. was our backup, our newcomer greeter, Mo H., and announcements will be Leslie W. All right. So with that, if Don B. would please read on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Don?
Hi, this is Don B., Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.